This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. God values life. He sent His Son to die for us so that we would be free from sin to follow and serve Him. He places value on all human life and wants all Christians to live here on earth seeking to do good for all. We should value life the way God does, which is why we're focusing on the sanctity of human life this week. Today, we'll conclude a sermon titled, Choose Life, from Pastor Sam. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Can I do whatever I want to do? Do I have the authority to make choices about my body? Do I have the ultimate authority to do that? Answer, no. The scriptures do not give us that ultimate authority. Do I have the authority to do intentional harm or to do something that brings intentional harm to the life of another person? Answer, the scripture clearly prohibits that. Question number three, when does a person become a person? We've looked at a series of texts carefully, thoughtfully, intentionally that lead us to the inescapable conclusion that from God's perspective, and by the way, He is the only perspective that matters in this, a person becomes a person, not at birth, not when they take their first breath, a person becomes a person at conception. In other words, what is growing in a mother's womb is not just a fetus, although we refer to that, and I understand their context where you'll hear that term, but don't ever forget that it's not just a fetus, it is a person that is growing in the womb. And so here's the fourth question. With regard to government, with regard to human government, what God-assigned responsibility does human government have to protect the life and well-being of its citizens? Now, please don't get distracted by, you know, the government is supposed to run our lives. That's not what we're talking about here. We're asking what God-assigned responsibility does human government, no matter where it exists, no matter what form it is in, no matter what country or what time it exists, does human government have God-assigned responsibility to protect and preserve the life and well-being of its citizens? But listen to this. We looked at Genesis 9:6, and we have a text in Romans 13 that basically says that it is the responsibility of human government, a God-assigned responsibility, to preserve and protect human life by demanding the life of someone who intentionally, wrongfully terminates the life of another human being. I mean, that is a clear God-assigned responsibility to human government. It ought to shock us. It ought to make us uncomfortable. It ought to disquiet our soul whenever we hear about this or read about this. And certainly it is applied in certain countries in horrifically bad ways. But we're asking a different question. Is there a God-assigned responsibility to human government to protect and preserve human life? And the answer is yes. And we can see that in Genesis 9, verse 6, and in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 7, God assigns to government the responsibility to protect the life of the innocent and especially of the righteous. Listen to Exodus 23, verse 7. Keep far, this is now given to the governing authorities of Israel, keep far from a false charge. Do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. Well, does that extend to somebody who hasn't been born? And in Exodus 21, verses 22 through 25, we have a very unusual text that has been given to the government of Israel about the life of an unborn infant. Let me read it to you. When men strive together, in other words, when men get in an argument and maybe have an altercation and they hit a pregnant woman in the process, this is not an intentional hit, when they hit a woman so that her children come out. Here are two men in an altercation. In the middle of that altercation, they hit a woman who is pregnant in such a way that her children are born, but there is no harm. The one who hit her will surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he will pay as the judge determines. But, verse 23, if there is harm, in other words, if that life is lost, then you will pay life for life. So let me ask you again. Does government have a God-assigned responsibility, regardless of what the government is or where it is located or what country or what system? It might be a monarchy, it might be a democracy, whatever it is, does human government have a God-assigned responsibility to protect and preserve the life and well-being of its citizens? And the answer to that is what? From these texts, yes. Which then leads to this important consideration for those of us who live in this country. We, by the providence of God and the common grace of God, have been given a wonderful right to participate in the appointment of those who govern over us. As we speak to this by means of our vote, we have a responsibility and a duty to consider and evaluate the implications of that vote on the sanctity and the protection of human life. I want you to hear that. As a believer in a country that God has allowed you to live in, which we all ought to be so grateful for the freedoms we have that were hard won, the fact that we actually have the privilege as Americans to speak into who governs us by our vote, we don't just cast that vote on economic platforms. What's going to be best economically for the country? Or maybe there's a particular social agenda that we hold, or a political agenda that we're all about, or a party that we strongly prefer. There is something that's even more important than that, and that is the sanctity of human life. And however you vote, your vote has to consider the implications of what it means for the sanctity of human life when God has assigned to government the responsibility to protect and preserve the life and the well-being of its citizens. Now, you know, we hardly ever talk this way as a church. We don't speak very often of politics here. This is not politics. Abortion does not belong to a political party. Abortion is a right. It is an issue, rather. Abortion, the right of the unborn, is an issue that belongs to God. And as his children, we have a responsibility to use our voice and sometimes our vote to speak to that issue. Now, that brings me to the last thing as we consider this important question. Question number one, do I have the right, the ultimate right, to do whatever I choose to do with my body? Answer, no. Do I have the right to bring intentional harm to the life of another? And all of us, as we looked at those texts, all of us came to the conclusion, well, of course not. Old Testament command and prohibition, New Testament ethic, of course we don't have that right. The real question we looked at was, is what is growing in the womb a person? When does a person become a person? And we let David speak to that. We let Jeremiah speak to that. We let the scripture speak to that. We discovered that a person becomes a person at conception. And then we ask the question, what obligation, what God-assigned responsibility does human government, wherever it is located, have with regard to the protection of the life and the well-being of its citizens? And we saw that God does give that obligation and responsibility to human government. And that brings me to this. With regard to the gospel and to the church, what does God want us to do as his people when the sanctity of human life has been violated by others? How does the gospel address all of this brokenness that goes on around us and sometimes in us? And so let me make just some comments about this that I want us to think about. Millions of unborn people have been and are being aborted in our land. This should bother us. This should disturb us. We should grieve over this profoundly. We should really think about this biblically. We should voice our objection to this thoughtfully, intentionally, graciously, but boldly. Millions of unborn people in our own country and around the world are intentionally suffering the loss of their life in the womb, and this should disturb us deeply. The life and the soul of the parents of aborted infants have been spiritually damaged and deeply affected. I think sometimes we focus on the loss of the infant and we forget the immense damage that happened to the soul of the person, the mom and the dad, who went about and acted out this abortion. And this should move us profoundly. How do we help these people? What do we do when we encounter somebody whose soul has been deeply damaged by this and their conscience just speaks to them and their life has been forever changed by this? Well, I think we should pray about this constantly in our own lives and in the lives of those people in our life that God brings that have been damaged in this way. We should guard against this personally. And young people, can I just speak to you as high school students and as college students? There is a reason that God has put the moral statements that he has put in Scripture about your sexuality. I mean, there really is. And one of those reasons, maybe not the primary reason, but certainly one of those reasons is that God would spare you from this. There is an immense thing that happens when a young person or anybody finds themselves unexpectedly with an unwanted pregnancy. And at that moment, you would be shocked what will go through your mind. You will entertain things you never thought you would entertain if you have not guarded against this in your life personally. And then we should seek to minister to those whose lives have been affected by abortion or who are considering abortion, and we should do this compassionately. This is why I mentioned to you at the beginning of our service and at the end of our service, I wanted you to see a brief clip on the Piedmont Women's Center. The chairman of the board and a board member of that organization are in our church. Our church ought to be thankful to the Lord for that organization and for what it is doing and for the lives that are being impacted. And it's not just the life of the infant that is being spared, as wonderful as that is and as much as we ought to celebrate that. They are also ministering to the lives of the moms and dads of those infants. And I bet if you were inclined, they would welcome your help. There are financial needs that go with that. And some of us in this room ought to be supporting what they do. There are volunteer needs that happen in that ministry that we ought to get behind as a church. You say, Pastor, what can we do? How can we show compassion? How can we involve ourselves appropriately and thoughtfully and intentionally and sacrificially? Well, here is one little place in our town that is easily accessible to us that we can actually be a part of. And two of our church members are deeply involved in this battle for the life of the unborn, and not just for the life of the unborn, but for the life of the parent. It's not just the life of the unborn. It's the life of the mom and the dad. And we can have tremendous influence and impact as a church. And so this week in our e-news, we're going to actually send you a much longer link. These two links, or this video that we're showing you at the front and the back end, there is a much larger explanation of what is going on at the Piedmont Women's Center, and it is going to go out this week in our e-news, and I would really encourage all of you to take the time to look at that. Here's the third thing. The gospel brings grace and hope to all of this, and this should encourage and motivate us personally. We should recognize the cross of Jesus can forgive and redeem all of this in the life of a person. And I want to just stop here for a minute. And I don't want to assume something, and I don't want any of us to assume something. But can I just say this? If you're in this room and you have had an abortion, or you have been the dad who encouraged the mom to have an abortion, you might be sitting here in your heart and saying, what do I do now? What do I do now? In a sermon like this that is intended to bring hope and life and courage to a congregation so that we care both about the life of the infant and the life of the parent may actually feel to you like a boatload of guilt. And while everybody else is getting encouraged and strengthened, you may actually feel like you're getting crushed. So what do you do if you've had this happen in your life? You found yourself in an unwanted pregnancy. You never saw it coming. It happened. And again, we're sort of boundering out. We realize there's complexities when there are medical issues and the life of the mother is at stake, and those are very complicated things. And our elders are happy to talk to you about those situations. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about normal pregnancy where you have a healthy infant, and it's unexpected and it's unwanted, and it intruded into your life, and now you are faced with the consequences of, what do I do? I've got to make a decision. And you made the wrong call. Let's just say 20 years ago or 25 years ago or 15 years ago, this happened. And here you sit, and you say to yourself, what do I do? And the answer is, you run to the gospel that saved you. You rest in the grace that redeemed you. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? There are scripture texts in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Acts chapter 9, verse 1, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul was consenting to the death of a believer. There are texts that talk about not just consenting to the death of believers, but actually on his way to bring about the death of believers. And that's why he could say in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, I am the chief of sinners. I brought havoc in the church of God. In 1 Timothy 1:15, I am the chief of sinners. Was there forgiveness for Paul through the gospel? Did the grace of the gospel cover that? And the answer is what? Yes. And the same gospel that saved Paul and the same grace that rescued Paul from all of that guilt and all of that pain and put him forth as a preacher of the gospel he once persecuted is the same grace, and it's the same gospel that's available to you. And so if you're here this morning and you found yourself in that spot, can I just say to you that the gospel covered it. The grace of God covered it. That's why the song we sang just before the message is so powerful. Run to Jesus. Hang on to Jesus. Believe Jesus when he said, I forgive you. Rely on the grace of Jesus and rejoice in the hope of the gospel that is yours. And when you meet that infant in heaven, you might be surprised what that infant has to say to you. When you've repented and you've used your life for the gospel, you might have that infant come up and say to you, I am so proud you were my mom. I am so proud you were my dad. I've been watching up here how the grace of God redeemed all of this, and I see the work that has gone forth for the kingdom of God and the glory of God, and I am proud that you're my mom. I am proud that you're my dad. Satan would never want you to think that way. But there's someone in heaven who's defeated Satan through the gospel, and the gospel is a powerful power transforming reality in your life. And here's the thing, if you are ever in a place, and young people, if you're ever here, here's the last thing I want to say. As a church, we need to create a culture of life and a culture of grace that comes around the gospel. Young people, I hope, whether you're a college student or high school, I hope you never find yourself in a place where you've crossed a moral boundary, and that happens from time to time. I'm not excusing it. I'm not minimizing it. Please don't hear that Palmetto is permissive morally. That's not what we are. But most of us who sin never intended to sin. We were caught up in a transgression, and you may be caught up in a transgression that results in an unexpected, unwanted pregnancy, and you may be afraid to tell anybody. And I want you to know something about our church. We are going to come around you. We are going to help you. We are going to surround you with love. We are going to work through this with you. We don't want you to compound one transgression with another of vastly more immense consequences. We're going to come around you. We're going to come around your parents. We are not going to shame you. We are not going to put you in a place where others are going to shame you. We, if you are repentant before the Lord, we are going to come and we are going to create a culture of grace and a culture of life around you so that you can thrive and so that the infant, however tragic its inception was, that infant will have the ability to hear the gospel, experience the gospel, and come to know the grace of God that is at work in your life. We want to be that kind of a church. Young man, if you find yourself the father of an unexpected pregnancy and you don't know what to do, encourage. You're in a church that will come alongside you, and we will help you encourage your partner to choose life. We want life for you. Jesus came to give us life, and not just any kind of life, but abundant life. And we want to be a church where life thrives. And so that's why I've called our Sanctity of Sunday, a Sanctity of Life Sunday, a Sunday where we choose life. Let me end with this final thought. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been hearing all this and it's interesting to you. Maybe it's jarring to you. Maybe it's not offensive to you, but it's like, I haven't really thought about this before. I understand that this is not a topic that we typically think a lot about. It's a hot button in politics. It's a hot button in our culture. But typically, believers have not thought deeply about this. So this may be more than you've ever heard on this topic. And you say, you know what, Pastor Sam, I need to think more about this. Come and talk to one of our elders. We are eager to talk to you about this. But it would be tragic on a Sunday that we celebrate life and we're urging people to choose life if you're here and you don't have eternal life and you walk away hearing all this beautiful ministry about life and you don't receive an invitation from us to choose the life that matters. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, if you haven't personally come to Him with your sin and said to Him, Lord, I repent of my sin, I'm leaving all of my own human efforts behind, and I am coming as a sinner, repentant of my sin, asking you for life, for forgiveness. If you haven't done that, can I just say to you as I pray here in just a moment, this is a great Sunday to do that. It's a great Sunday to do that. Just bow your head while we're praying and talk to God in your heart and say, God, I don't know about all this that I heard today. This is news to me. This is all new to me. But I do know this, that I need a relationship with a God like you. If you care this much about life, if you care this much about human life, you must care about my life. And I want life. And so, God, I'm asking you to forgive my sin. I'm asking you to save me from my sin. And I'm just coming to you asking you for life. It's that simple. If you call on the name of the Lord, Paul said, God will hear and He will deliver. He will save.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road in Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, join our morning worship service every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. or you can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about this sermon or Palmetto Baptist Church, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billiou. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.